This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Joining us on the Trocare College Live Line, speaking with political analyst Steve Roberts, as President Trump hits 100 days in office, which is often used as a milestone, Steve. Also a very popular time to poll people's opinions on the president. And, well, they're not exactly where they started. We'll put that with the poll numbers. What have you seen in some of these numbers released in the last 24 hours?
Well, look, our own ABC poll has Donald Trump's approval rating at 39%. Now, let's remember he got 49.8% of the vote. So that's a drop of 10 points from his electoral vote and a 6-point drop from February. This is the lowest rating any president has ever had in the first 100 days in the history of polling. And polling goes back about 80 years to just after the World War II and the Roosevelt administration. So these are pretty desperate numbers, and there are two explanations for it. The most obvious is simply the economy. As we talked so often during the campaign, what was dragging down the Biden-Harris ticket was negative views of the economy, price of gas and groceries, pretty simple. Now this is the Trump economy, and the negative mood has persisted. And so instead of blaming Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for their problems, they're starting, voters in Buffalo and everywhere else, starting to blame Donald Trump for their problems. Our poll showed that 72% predict a recession. 73% say the economy's in bad shape. 53% say their own personal economic situation gotten worse since Donald Trump became president. Now, remember, Donald Trump promised on day one things would get better. It would be easy. Well, it was never going to be easy, and he was never going to fix it on day one. But he did overpromise. And that negative mood that helped elect him is exactly the same problem that's now dragging down his numbers.
I want to ask you, Steve, about something that we're seeing in this country right now. I'm wondering if you think a judicial coup is going on. Federal judges are usurping powers of the executive branch. We're no longer governed, it seems, by the White House, Senate, and House, but by people in robes. And wondering if you think the Supreme Court will be stepping in here.
Well, it depends on how you look at that issue. It is a highly controversial one, Susan, and there are certainly a significant number of Trump supporters who agree with the notion that judges are acting beyond their writ and beyond their constitutional role, and that they are impinging on the right of the executive. Trump's own supporters and are making that argument. There's another counter argument, which is that the judiciary is one of the few, maybe the only real guardrail left to contain Donald Trump's excesses. And so you, depending on one's political views, you can look at that issue from very different perspectives. But I can tell you, Susan, that in our poll, the American public tends to be more supportive of the judiciary and less supportive of Trump. 65% in our poll said that Trump is trying to avoid federal mandates. 64% say he's going too far in exercising executive power. And 62% say he does not accept the rule of law. So Trump supporters are arguing that the courts are out of control. But Trump foes are arguing that Trump is out of control and the courts are the only real check on his power.
There's so much attention on these two. I'm like, here is the third idea in all this, where it's you have all this power being absorbed by the presidency through executive orders, the judicial branch seeming to want a lot of power by everything being decided in the courts. And then over here, you got to have somebody asking, hey, what the heck do we elect all these members of Congress for? Like, are they ever going to do anything?
Well, you know, that, of course, is a very good question. And up till now, Trump has tried to do as much as possible through executive orders, because let's remember, while Republicans control both houses of Congress, they control both by very narrow margins. And the Democrats, with 47 votes in the Senate, can, when they want to, stage a filibuster that would pretty much stop not all, but a lot of Trump's legislative initiatives. So Trump understands that his ability to push legislation through Congress is pretty limited, both because he has narrow majorities and because the Democrats have the filibuster power. That's one of the reasons why he's doing two things. One is using executive orders. And then there is another arcane procedure called reconciliation. There is a provision in the congressional rules that when the issue is related to budget matters, they can evade the filibuster. And this is why Trump keeps talking about wanting one big, beautiful bill that contains his budget priorities, his tax policies, spending policies, that they hope and plan on evading the Democratic filibuster power in the Senate. But that hasn't come to fruition yet. That's down the road. Up till now, as you point out, Congress has been just a bystander. This has been the other two branches of government, the executive and the judiciary, have been exercising power, and Congress is virtually silent in many ways. You're right about that.
Well, Steve, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week. Steve Roberts, political analyst here on WBEN.